Keith wants me to sing a solo. Amen. I also want to welcome you this morning. You'll notice Scarlett is not with us. She is in the parking lot known as I-75, I-40 West, and cannot get here. She's going to try to get here as soon as she can, but she's stuck on the freeway in a traffic jam. Imagine that, a traffic jam in Knoxville, Tennessee. Can you imagine that? Unheard of. And so she is not with us. And so that is why she's not here. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I think all of us who have ever driven through Knoxville have had the pleasure of the parking lot known as the interstate system there. And so we ask that you would bless Scarlett and her journey. We also know, O Lord, that as we worship today, that we have members of our church that are going through difficult times, that they are going through struggles in their lives with family, and we ask that you would bless each one that we are praying for this day with that. We ask, Lord, that you would allow us then this morning to worship you in the fullness of this day and the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be called to you, for indeed you are already here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing O Worship the King, page 73.
As you remain standing, if you would turn to page 881 in your United Methodist hymn book, the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to God.
So we come this morning with our prayer request and our praises. We would ask that if you have any of those, that you would tell us loudly now, since I'm not down there with you. So if you have anything, please let us know at this time. Okay, let's go.
Go ahead.
No, you got it.
No, I just wanted to ask you all to pray for our Nancy. She's had kind of a rough week. Her son, who is disabled, fell, and now he can't get up and down by himself or do anything, so she's having to take care of him. And then her granddaughter-in-law has stroke this week, 31 years old, and has been in the hospital. So she's had the great-grandchildren as well this week. So we just want to ask you all to pray for God's strength for her and her peace, and that things will get better.
Okay, be in prayer for Miss Nancy. For the person who we don't know had knee surgery this past couple of weeks ago that we're not allowed to say, but he did, we'd ask that you would be in prayer for him as he goes through that. I thought I did that pretty well, didn't you? Be in prayer for him, and it's the worst kept secret in the church, but just work on it anyway and kind of go from there. So we'll be in prayer that he heals well as time goes on. Hey. Okay. Thank you. Pray for Marianne. And for Miss Wanda, too. For Marianne and Miss Wanda. Okay. Are there others? All right, let us pray together. Let us breathe in that power of the Holy Spirit into our souls. Let us feel the movement of God upon our being. Let us know that you are walking with us, that you are with Miss Nancy and her family as she goes through this time of so many people being sick and the struggle of keeping up with everything. Calm and bless her soul. And for Miss Wanda, Lord, that you would be with her and that would help her in this time where she is having a struggle day. Help her in that struggle to find the healing power of your Holy Spirit. And for Mary Ann, that you would bless her and that you would keep her safe as she goes through a difficult time. Let your Holy Spirit overwhelm her with your presence and let her be changed by the very act of your Spirit being with her. And for the one that we don't know about but we're praying for, that you would bless him and heal him and let that healing come be complete and full within his own body. And we do thank you, Lord, for those who have not been with us recently but are with us today, that you would bless them. Give them a power of being present as we are present with them and that you are present with all of us. And let us know that your grace is so sufficient for us. We will not bow without praying for those who have suffered through yet another earthquake on this week and those who still continue to struggle with the war. War that is physical in the Ukraine, war that is spiritual, mental also. There and around the rest of the world. We pray for a calmness that does not seem to be present and a passion for peace that does not seem to be passionate enough, but that we would do and be the people that you have called us to be. And as we walk through Lent, as we prepare our souls for the Easter celebration, let us be aware and fully know of the grace that you offer us in everything that we do. Now heal us, prepare us, comfort us, and let us know of your presence. And in all places and in all times, Let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Save us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forgive the voice, but it is that time of year.
Please stand with us as we sing hymn number 381, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Let us pray together. And now in the gift of giving, the joy of giving ourselves to you, and the power of allowing ourselves to be used by you, let us give this day in a way that honors and glorifies your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. not in the Methodist hymn book. I was going to have us sing Bringing in the Sheaves that she just played, but it's not in the Methodist hymn book. So much for that plan. It was a good plan when I came up with it, wasn't it? Do I? Keith, you got Bringing in the Sheaves back there? Do you have Bringing in the Sheaves? We got a second. The choir's not singing this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had planned to do a cantata Palm Sunday, but things have kind of gotten a little bit changed, so we're doing something a little different this year. We're going to actually do the first song of our cantata next Sunday so that you can hear that part, and then Palm Sunday we'll be doing two of our songs, and Easter Sunday we'll do part of our songs. So y'all please make sure you come the next three Sunday to hit the whole cantata, okay?
No luck. Got it. Can you play the first verse? Play the first verse of Bringing in the Sheaves. Yeah, I've just changed the whole service. It's okay. You've been around me long enough to know that's how I do that. And so, you can stand or sit either one you want to. Those who stood, just a question for those who just sang that chorus with us. How many person knows what a sheave is? Do what?
A handful of grain.
Oh, it's a handful of grain. Bring in the sheaves. And so I just thought I'd throw that at you since we weren't having a choir special and nobody ever knows what I'm going to do. Amen. All right. If you'll find your Bibles, we provide them for you. They're free. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Everybody got it? Let us stand for God's holy word. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. May the blessings of our meal with sinners be complete. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, welcoming sinners. I have a friend of mine who's now passed away, sadly, who I went on a trip to South Korea with on a mission trip. Pastor of a Methodist church, and he used to greet his people every morning with the following greeting: "Welcome, saints." And then I would say back, "Welcome, saints." And then he would say, "Welcome, sinners." And then they would respond back, "Welcome, sinners." You know, it was always louder on the saints' part than it was the sinners' part. I don't know why that is. I think we prefer to think of ourselves more in the sinner, say a saint more than we do sinner part. But he would always do that. He'd do it very loudly. He was very much louder than I am, and some of y'all may find that hard to believe, but he was very, very loud and very much into things, and he would run up and down the aisles and do all that stuff. He was great. And so, but he would come and do that, and the congregation would prepare themselves for who they are. All right? Now think about it. If we come into this and we're welcoming sinners, this is what we're supposed to be doing, right? Which one of us is left out? Any of y'all not a sinner? Very quiet. May I get a hallelujah for being a sinner? Hallelujah. Praise God for being a sinner. Praise God. I can't wait to be more of a sinner than I was yesterday. Okay, now we're taking a little far now, aren't we? Maybe that's more than it should be. We're welcoming sinners. But if you think about it, what Jesus does is he welcomes tax collectors and sinners. Notice the order. This is very important to watch the order of this. He welcomes tax collectors and he welcomes sinners. Now, why does tax collectors come first? You ever thought about it? At the reading, at the time of the writing of this scripture, when we did this, it gave us this understanding of what it's like to welcome sinners in this gospel. Tax collectors, by their nature, were the most hated people in Israel. Why? Well, it's simple. Tax collectors loved, apparently, to serve the Roman government, and they would collect taxes from their own people because the tax collectors were all Israelites. So the tax collectors would come and they would start doing that, and then what they would do, if Richard's amount of taxes was 2 denarii a week, what the tax collector would do would charge him 4 denarii a week. The government got 2, and the tax collector got 2. They did their salary off the backs of the people of Israel. That's how they made their living. So when it came to tax collectors and sinners, if you start to think about it, they put tax collectors first because they had an order of sin in their mind. Because they collected off the backs of their own people. So they welcomed tax collectors and sinners. So the complaint is what? What's the complaint of these people? Pharisees and Sadducees come. And they're complaining that they're eating with these people. Now, Pharisees and Sadducees believe that they are above these people. They're better than. We see this on many occasions. You see them when they're at the temple, when they're praying, and he's praying, the Pharisee's praying, I'm glad I'm not like that poor sinner who's down there. And then, you know, and you see that follow through like that. There is this understanding that they are on a higher plane. Do y'all know anybody who's on a higher plane than you are? They think they know sin. Now remember, we're in Lent. So Lent is a time that we're supposed to be examining ourselves as we prepare for Easter. So you're supposed to be 40 days of examination of who you are. Now, I know y'all have done that. You've examined yourself every day. You've looked at your own sinfulness. You've worked through some issues. You've done all those things. But we're supposed to be not only just giving up something, we're supposed to be examining our very being. Well, the examination here and the complaint here is that Jesus has the audacity to sit down at a table with tax collectors and sinners. If you think about it, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. And I want you to go back and think about the crowd gathered with him that night. The crowd that we know of, at least. The apostles are there. All right, in that crowd is a tax collector, a betrayer, a denier, and 2 people who argued who got to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus after when he comes into his kingdom. Those are your saints. I like it. Why do I like it? Because they remind me of me. They remind us of us. Think of the things we've argued over the last 100 years that matter not. We just get into this fuss. They want to know who sets the right hand side. Who's this? One betrays, one denies, one takes taxes. There are all these different things. And Jesus not only eats with that kind of people, he calls them to be his apostles. What a funny way to call a group. There's a song that I never can remember the words to, but the title was, "It's a Strange Way to Save the World." And it's talking about the baby being born and coming through the manger. It's a Christmas song, which y'all would expect I would know, right? And so you've got this song, and there's this understanding that nothing Jesus is doing makes sense. In fact, Jesus himself at one time says to the folks, "You complained about John because what does John do? John fasts, and he goes through the ritualism of fasting and taking time out to pray, and he leads his apostles through all these different ways of doing this. And then I come, and I'm eating, and I'm rejoicing, and you call me a glutton, you call him a sinner because he's fasting all the time, and he's wrong. What do we got to do to please you folk?" Listen to his discussion. Listen to what he's trying to say to them. So their complaint is, not only does he go there with them, but what does he do? Under the complaint, he eats with them. Jesus would eat with you and me. If we understand ourselves, there's something I think we have to back up and try to figure out. When they're complaining about him eating with them, and they're calling them tax collectors and sinners, and if we're willing to suggest or admit to or even adhere to the fact that all of us are sinners, now we fall into two categories. I know I may make this too simple for some, but I'm a simple guy. And I grew up in North Georgia. Been part of my life in North Georgia, spent time in North Alabama. I'm just a simple guy. So I want to make it easy. There's two groups of people. There's sinners, and there's sinners saved by grace. That's the groups. And if you start trying to figure out what sin is worse, and I know we've talked about this some, I'm going to talk about it a little more. When we start trying to figure that out, we start categorizing sin. Now, I want you to ponder one more time on this topic. Look at yourself, self-examination. Remember, this is what this is about. Look at yourself and ask yourself the following question. What is my worst sin? Now, there's only one person can answer that question. Because if I start trying to answer about your worst sin, I become judge. And guess who the judge is? God. Way above my pay grade, not taking on that responsibility. I'm not going there. So what is the issue here? I can't take on that role because I'm simply a sinner saved by grace like everybody else that's been saved. So I can't take that role. But you start thinking about your worst sin, and then when we start trying to do the following thing, listen to the Pharisee in us now. I'm thankful I'm not a sinner like they are. The mysterious they. Like they are. The complaint is he eats with them. And the answer is he would eat with us. But all of us are created in God's image. All of you have within you what we call a soul, the breath of life. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. If you hadn't read it lately, go back and read it. You've got two creation stories. I know that irritates people when I say that, but you've got two creation stories. You've got a general view of creation in chapter 1, and you've got a very specific view of creation in chapter 2. You go back and read the two chapters and put them together as one story seen from two different views. You'll get that story of creation in Genesis. But in the story of creation, when man and woman is made, Jesus, God, breathes into us the breath of life, the ruach, the soul, the animator of your being, the one that makes you who you are. You're breathing to that life. The difference between somebody that's living and somebody that passes away 5 minutes after they passed away, if not sooner than that, is they've lost the breath of life. The soul has left the body to go be with God. Absent from the body is to be present with God. That little scripture. So think of the process. The complaint is they eat with them, and yet if God will eat with you and me, then we fall into the lovely category of being able to be forgiven. Think about that. Won't you think about it? What is forgiveness? Any idea? What's forgiveness? It is you being forgiven through faith and the grace of Jesus Christ coming to you. It is not a hard act. It is not something that we struggle with in its process. It's not something that we can't figure out. It's a forgiveness of one who's willing to eat with us. It's a forgiveness of one who's able to work with us and through us. It's a forgiveness of being able to understand what it means to be a tax collector and a sinner and still be forgiven. Let's add two more points to this quickly. The first one is, remind yourself that in James, he says that when we've sinned, we have broken all the laws. He didn't say we sinned all the laws, that we've broken, because once we've sinned, we've sinned. And that when we sin, we don't sin against the person. So I can harm Mary Lynn. We've been married 38 years. More than likely, I have done that at least once or twice. It's just true. I can harm Mary Lynn, but I've sinned against God. So the scripture that says when you have somebody has something against you, go and correct it. It doesn't say when that person has sinned against you or you have sinned against that person, when they have something against you, go and correct it, then bring your gift to the altar. See, the sin is not against the person, the sin against God, even though I may have harmed that person. Because they carry in them, as you do, the breath of life, the spirit that is given to you called your soul. You carry it in you, and it is given to you, and it is in the image of God. You know, don't ever think that this body that you're walking around in is in the image of God. Your soul, your being is in the image of God. That is who you are, and that is who you come from. So when we watch that, we see how it unfolds. So the complaint is, he eats with sinners, but he will also eat with us. And to that, we ought to say praise God. Because he will eat with, whether we like to think of ourselves this way or not, he will eat with the sinners in the room. Next time we take communion, and I say the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and you partake of it, just remind yourself that you fit in well with the tax collectors and the sinners that took communion before Jesus went to the cross. You're one of them. And you know what? There can be nothing more glorious than being one of them. Because it is how our lives are changed. So the next time you sit down at home and pray, go to your meal at lunch today. Get your food, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's at home, however you do it. And you bow your heads and you pray. Don't just thank God for the food, which you should do. Thank God for being present at the table with you. Because you don't eat in a vacuum. You eat at the table with tax collectors and sinners and Jesus, who's there with you with each breath that you take. It ought to add a new meaning to mealtime when you sit down and make a seat for Jesus. Because Jesus is there. And he's there through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It is amazing how much you love us. It is amazing how much you care for us. It is amazing that you would eat with us. Now let us, all of us, be amazed at the presence of the Spirit as we worship, as we lead our lives, as we partake together. Jesus is there. So Lord, when we say, good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners, we are referencing who we are. Both saint and sinner with the same breath of life in us. May we praise God for it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The altar is open if you'd like to come and pray, but it's always open if you want to come and pray. Ms. Terry?
Stand with us as we sing Only Trust Him.
What a blessed day it is to be a saint and a sinner in the house of God, to have eaten with God through the word of God being read, proclaimed, and to be sung. Now let us go in peace. In the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ on this Lenten journey, let us journey with it to that day of Easter celebration. But let us not forget to stop and see the entrance, to look at the communion, the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, to be there for Good Friday, the crucifixion, and then celebrate Easter Sunday. Let us go in peace of one mind and one body, in one accord with the God, with the Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.